Hey everyone, and welcome to this, the last soapbox edition of the Risky Business Podcast for the year. My name is Patrick Gray. We do 10 of these soapbox podcasts every year. They're a sponsored show that let vendors come in and have a chat about their products, new stuff, or really basically whatever they want. That's the whole idea. That's why it's called Soapbox. And just so you know, we've already sold 8 out of the 10 Soapbox podcasts we'll be running in 2018. So if you want to get in on one of those last ones, do email sales@risky.biz. So today's Soapbox is brought to you by Bromium. Bromium makes a security suite that wraps key applications into microvisors. So it's a hardware-based micro-virtualization thing. So they wrap things like browsers and the Microsoft Office suite into these microvisors, which is a really great approach for high-security environments. Bromium has also found a lot of success in organizations that have to run out-of-date browsers and Java to support legacy applications. And that way you can sort of run those browsers and it's not as you know, catastrophically risky as it would be if you were running them naked. Well, now they've gone a step further. They've launched Secure App Extensions, which is where they custom wrap your application or an application you use from another vendor. They wrap that into a microvisor. So if you're using some awful old enterprise app and it's, you know, the risk is keeping you awake at night, this might be a solution for you if you can't rip and replace. And something that didn't actually occur to me until I had this conversation you're about to hear is, you know, when you micro-virtualize this way, not only are you protecting the application, you know, stopping the application from being able to attack your endpoint, you're actually also able to protect the application from attacks originating on your endpoint. So isolation is a bit of a two-way street there. So to talk about all of this, we're joined by Bromium's VP of Product and Strategy, Gavin Hill. He joined me via Skype to talk about all this new stuff, and here he is.
Secure App Extensions basically allows customers to put whatever their legacy applications are or their custom applications into micro VMs in the similar fashion in which we've done with the Office suite and PDF and everything else, right? As far as Bromium is concerned. The reason we released that, and one of the reasons as to why we decided to make it available to customers and anybody, and by the way, it's only made available via our professional services team. So we haven't exposed the full API to anybody externally yet. The reason we're doing that is we want to keep it still, I suppose, to a degree under controlled release right now. And that's because we want to see what are the use cases that customers and prospects do want to have or use Bromium for to put things into micro VMs. So if, for example, a customer today wants to put whatever their legacy application is into a micro VM, they would work with our premium support folks or our ProServe guys, and they would first validate the use case, check that the use case actually fits the use of the API. And the reason we're doing that is because you can't put any and every single application into a micro VM using the API, simply because every application is different, right? So when I'm explaining it to anybody, the test case I usually use and that I ask folks is, what do you think would be easier if I put in some type of PDF viewer into a micro VM using our API, or if I used a text editor? What do you think would be easier?
No idea.
I suppose test for you.
No idea.
Usually most go with, well, it's probably going to be a text editor that's easier, right? Because it seems simpler. The answer is no, the text editor is probably going to be and is harder to put into a micro VM simply because a text editor usually has multiple tabs. So think about a text editor as if it's a browser, for example, whereas a PDF viewer doesn't necessarily have multiple tabs. So PDF viewer is easier to put into a micro VM and can, and we can use our API to put that in.
It sounds to me like, you know, Bromium's whole thing was like, okay, you run our endpoint solution, and what we do there is that's like pre-packaged micro VMs for a whole bunch of applications that you're using. So things like browsers, we'll wrap them in a micro VM for you. I mean, what this sounds like is that you know, you're offering to custom wrap certain legacy applications, you know, into micro VMs the same way that you would do it if you were dealing with like a generic app used by a lot of people, but you're offering that now as a custom service. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. And what we found from customers is we'd go into customers and they would say, this is great. We believe in the idea of application isolation and micro virtualization, but can you put whatever legacy app or legacy app X or Y into a micro VM as well? Because A, we can't patch it. B, we're getting hit, you know, with custom malware or from targeted attacks. Can you help us? Generally, the response has been, no, we can put that on the roadmap, or we can go back to from a product management perspective and evaluate how much of a risk it is across all of our customers. This now gives the ability for those customers to work with our ProServe guys to put whatever that legacy application is into a micro VM.
Because I think last time I spoke to someone from Bromium, we did one of these earlier in the year, and it seemed like, you know, legacy was really where it was at, but mostly from the point of view of if you have a Java problem and an old browser problem, right? So that was the thing. People would buy Bromium because they had to run IE8 for whatever up reason, and you guys could do that and make it less dicey. But I guess now, yeah, you're moving it out to these I guess what, enterprise software packages. Can you walk us through a couple of examples of where you've done this?
So let me give you a good example. One is where we had a request from a couple of customers to add, for example, the Amazon Workspaces client to a micro VM. Now, normally, what we would have done there, and this is really the remote or the RDP access, right, to the Workspaces client. Normally, what we would do is put that as a request or an enhancement request into product management and then go ahead and see when it comes out. Our ProServe team have worked with a couple of customers and they're using now the Amazon Workspaces as client within a micro VM. The use case as to why customers asked for that was they don't necessarily trust AWS, or for example, if their cloud workloads got breached and somebody wanted to use that cloud workload to infiltrate their organization. Now, previously, before Bromium put that into a micro VM, what would have happened is chances would be, you know, that a bad actor would just get in, whereas now it doesn't matter because the bad actor is still going to be hardware contained within the micro VM on the Amazon Workspaces client viewer. So that's one use case that we have heard of. Another use case we've heard of is exactly the example I gave is PDF viewers. So for example, Nitro PDF viewer. We get a ton of requests for that to put Nitro PDF viewer into a micro VM because by default, we do not support that.
So once you've wrapped something in a VM, does it mean that those users then have to run the entire sort of Bromium client, you know, the client suite, or do they just run the legacy app and it's got all of the Bromium goodness sort of, you know, it's got all of the sort of micro VM stuff, you know, just executing within the context of that application? Or do you need all of the supporting software around it?
You need to install the Bromium suite because you obviously have to install the Bromium user and hypervisor onto the machine to support this. So it's not just going to be that respective legacy app running on the endpoint. You have to install the Bromium suite. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to enable the entire Bromium suite. You could just enable it for that respective application. And that's why we call it, and that's exactly why when we released it, we call it Secure App Extensions, because it's an extension to the actual Bromium secure platform.
So what other types of applications do you think, you know, people out there in enterprise land might apply this to? Because, you know, I'm just wondering, because it's an unusual one, right? Because you're talking about legacy applications that are likely to be targeted through some sort of attack, you know. So, I mean, that's not a giant list. I mean, you know, usually when we think about the security risks presented by legacy applications, it is things like web-based stuff that requires old browsers and Java. Like even some Oracle products require really horror show stuff to still interact and manage to manage them. What other applications can we think of that would be best suited to being, you know, micro virtualized?
So let me answer the question this way. The primary reason we released Secure App Extensions is really part of our larger vision where we're going. And the larger vision where we're going is if you just look at the, I suppose, threat landscape through multiple years, the ultimate thing that's always been compromised or taken advantage of is the application. Doesn't matter how somebody gets in, they're going to take advantage of some application vulnerability. Right now, we look at how do we defend the host from bad stuff happening within the micro VM, right? By hardware isolating, whatever that application is. And we've had the request from multiple customers to add different types of applications. I've given you a couple of examples. Like I mentioned, the Amazon Workspaces client, PDF viewers. Some our customers have actually asked us to potentially micro virtualize whatever custom applications that they might have. I'm not going to go into specific names that they've given examples of, but the vision really is, how do you micro virtualize those specific applications and then protect the host? But the vision where we're going is, what if you flip that model on the head and you think about now, and this is why I say it's a journey that we're going on. First, we are releasing the access to the API in a restricted fashion to build out these use cases and to see which applications customers want. And ultimately, we'll build out a catalog, and then customers will be able to pick and choose from that catalog of those, I suppose, non-default or non-standard applications that we put into micro VMs. But moving beyond that, if you flip the model on the head and instead thought about, instead of defending the actual host, which is probably going to be compromised anyway, through some other threat vectors, or may even already be owned, because Bromium doesn't protect against every single attack vector out there. But we do look at, you know, the larger portion of the attack or the threat landscape. If you think about it then and you try and decide, what if I could protect my actual application from a potentially malicious host, or protect my application from a host which an IT shop has no control or visibility of. Mm. And you know that that application is accessing your cloud services, your critical infrastructure, your IP, but you want to protect that application and completely hardware isolate the respective application from the operating system, so that in the event the system is owned, so the operating system is owned, or I have as a corporate organization, I have no security control of that respective device, so maybe bring your own device world, where you can now protect the actual application from anybody trying to do any keyboard capture or screenshots, as well as remotely attest that that application is indeed being logged on by an individual.
Sure, but I mean, if someone's got some rootkit on that box, you know, like a low-level rootkit, they're still going to be able to run a keylogger.
They are going to be able to run a keylogger, but the keylogger is not going to be able to capture anything, because we control the full pass-through access from the keyboard directly to the application.
So you're sort of like hijacking the driver, really, at that point, aren't you? When you're, yeah, yes. That's interesting. So I'm guessing too that the eventual model here, once you've refined the process of taking apps and working out, because, you know, there was a lot of work. I know that Bromium's, you know, a lot of work internally at Bromium was figuring out how to get web browsers and complicated pieces of software working well, right? And yep. Things like Office and whatever. And that's a nightmare, because those things are very complicated bits of software. So I'd imagine now that you're, you know, applying the same techniques to simpler software and enterprise software and stuff like that, that you'll be refining that process and then maybe opening up the API with a bunch of documentation to the outside world, so that then people can maybe start micro-virtualizing various applications just as a matter of course, right?
Exactly. The ultimate vision for the API, and just going back to the use case of, you know, protecting the actual, or protecting the host and protecting the host from being compromised from bad stuff happening within the micro VM, the vision there is to ultimately open up that API and allow anybody to then use the API and add whatever application they want to the API, with obviously within confines as to what you can and cannot do. And we're going to provide documentation and information around that. And that's why we're first only releasing it via our professional services team, building out what are those use cases, going to ultimately build out a catalog of those use cases and those respective applications that we've put into micro VMs, and then ultimately open up and expose the API to partners, so, as well as whomever wants to use it.
So currently, what does that process look like? Can you take us through a step-by-step? Say, you know, I bring you, you know, Risky Biz Corp, brings you the Risky Biz Corp, you know, sponsor management client, right? that's like, say it's a CRM client or whatever the hell it is. For some reason, it was written in 2001 and I don't want to upgrade it because I'm, you know, because I'm just a, I'm one of those, right? What do your professional services team do? I mean, I'd imagine that the killer thing to do when you're trying to figure out how to micro virtualize something is to work out the interactions that it has with the host operating system, right? Because that's the stuff that you sort of have to handle, right? If you want to put something in a micro VM, you have to handle things like file system access and, you know, pass it through Bromium stuff instead of raw OS stuff. So what? Just tell me what that process looks like.
So at a high level, what the process looks like is you would obviously engage with our PS folks. They would want to know and understand exactly how your application works and operates. Also then, beyond how the application integrates or, I suppose, works with the operating system, so file systems, et cetera, file calls, et cetera, we would want to know from a user perspective and user workflow perspective, how does the application work? So, for example, if you're clicking on a specific action within the application, is it firing up a new window? What is it doing? What calls is it making within the operating system? And then from there, because keep in mind what we're doing is we are putting whatever that application is into a micro VM, and then we're repainting the entire display of whatever that application is basically in a mirror for the end user. So the end user is looking at a mirror. They're not really looking at whatever the application is in the back end in the micro VM. So it would be really critical for us to understand how that application works, and are you parsing multiple windows, showing multiple windows to the end user? That's really what we would dig into from that perspective.
Profiling and then of course, things like, you know, file system access and whatever, that's kind of important too, right?
Yes. And then, of course, are there any API hooks or are there any other applications that your application needs to talk to? So you mentioned web browsers, for example. Web browsers need to be able to communicate out to the internet and talk to multiple services as well as what is it doing within, or does it have additional plugins? For example, is your application a simple application that doesn't support plugins? If it supports plugins, well, that's something else that we'd be interested in understanding.
Can this ever get to the point? So, I mean, you're talking about enterprises using this as a way to lock down either custom or third-party apps, right? And then they download the Bromium suite and whatever. Can you imagine that there's a time where, say, a software publisher making some bit of enterprise software will come to you and say, hey, we want to make this the default shipping option for our software, but we don't want to have to ship the entire Bromium suite. Are you working towards turning this into a standalone thing that doesn't require an installation of Bromium? So it just gets worked into the installer and bang, off you go, and the user doesn't even know that it's micro-virtualized?
That's ultimately the vision. And that's even that picture I was painting as to where we're going. First step is how do we expose the API? Second step, and that's protecting the actual host. Next step is ultimately wrapping all applications so that the applications are protected both from the host as well as the host is protected from anything bad happening within the application. So it's a two-way street. Ultimately, you will still always need our microvisor to perform the action. And of course, the specific hardware is going to have to be able to support it as well.
Sure. But I mean, you could wrap that in the installer, right? So instead of having that, you know, visible as two pieces of software to the user, you could just have it as one, like, you know.
Yep.
But I guess, look, I mean, I hate to drop this metaphor on you, but it's almost like installing, you know, like a framework, right? Like Java.
Indeed it is. Yes.
So maybe, you know, once you download one app and it'll say this app requires Bromium or something. Can you foresee that sort of day, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're always going to need the hypervisor to perform the hardware isolation. And ultimately, it won't work without that. So
Now, look, forgive me for saying this, but it sort of feels like over the years, it's been difficult for Bromium to kind of find its feet in the current landscape, right? Because people often will just go for the easiest thing that gets them 90% of the solution. They're not interested in the difficult thing that perhaps does a better job but is more difficult to manage. And that has been a challenge for Bromium. So to what degree, I mean, this is a pivot of sorts. So to what degree is this sort of pivot a sort of acknowledgement of the market's reluctance to, I mean, you've had great luck within niches, right? But it's never really taken off as a broadly used technology. Is this pivot sort of designed to address that a bit? Is it a different tack?
I wouldn't say it's too much of a pivot. It's more just us focusing on our core competence. At the end of the day, Bromium is a virtualization security company. Our core and our roots are in virtualization and using virtualization for security. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's a pivot. I would say it's more a promotion of and acceptance of how the world is starting to appreciate the need for application isolation. If you look at...
Well, I mean, Gavin, the thing that the reason I ask that, right, is because I'm starting to look at the way things are going. And, you know, you look at BeyondCorp, Google's initiative, right, which is all about zero trust networks. And we've seen Duo Security, which is, you know, honestly one of my favorite companies and sponsor, you know, in the security market, because they've really jumped on board with that vision, which is just to treat your LAN like it's the internet, forget about trusting a network. Yes. And, you know, this is kind of an extension of that, isn't it, which is forget about trusting the hosts. And I can see that it dovetails nicely with that, which is why I'm asking how generic you can make this. Because I think if you could make it easy and generic and, you know, work quite seamlessly, it does actually slot quite nicely into that future vision for secure enterprise computing.
Yeah, definitely. And if you just look at the way the whole landscape is going, there's really two key themes that I see how the world is changing when it comes to InfoSec and security operations. And that is, one is network segmentation. So everybody's looking at now, how do you start segmenting the network from a software-defined perimeter as well as a segmenting specific applications, even from a network perspective. So network segmentation as well as then application. If you can put walls in place from a network segmentation perspective, and control where an adversary is going within your environment, you're ultimately going to keep them away from the crown jewels. And the same thing is for application isolation, because just as I mentioned earlier, to us, and even if you look at the whole industry, the application is really ground zero that adversaries have always taken advantage of from a vulnerability perspective. So why not look at hardware isolating the application?
Now, you've mentioned it a couple of times that you're protecting the application from a compromised host. How does that work, right? Because that's not something we've heard, you know, Bromium talk about a whole bunch.
Yeah, this is actually, as I mentioned, this is really our vision where we're going. Today, we protect the host from a compromised application. The vision to move forward with protecting the actual application from a compromised host is utilizing a bare metal hypervisor that we've started shipping in the last 8 months or so. And that bare metal hypervisor completely hardware isolates the actual application from the operating system. So the operating system doesn't even know the existence of the respective application. And if you think about it in the future, where organizations and even application vendors might want to start publishing their applications to protect their application from potentially malicious hosts, or even organizations might have their own custom applications that they want to publish to their customers or partners, et cetera. And they may want to completely isolate and protect that application so that when that application is accessing critical infrastructure or intellectual property or whatever it might be in the back end, you can remotely attest that that application is indeed running on the correct hardware, being logged on by the correct individual at the correct time.
We can do all sorts of fun hardware-based integrity checking. You know, I mean, Duo works on that sort of approach as well, right? And if all you've got to worry about is the EFI, then that's pretty good. But I mean, if you're talking about bare metal hypervisors, are we still talking about micro virtualization? Because that doesn't sound very micro to me.
We are still talking about micro virtualization. Yes.
So how do we reconcile that? It's bare metal and it's still micro. How does that work?
It's one of the new hypervisors that we've introduced in our 4.0 version, and we've introduced it to work in line with a machine that, for example, has Microsoft VBS enabled.
So, Gavin, you know, there's a lot of people listening to this. I'd imagine that, you know, in typical Bromium style, there's going to be, you know, a very small subset of listeners who you want interested in this stuff. You know, who are you sort of encouraging to get in touch with you to discuss this? You know, what class of customer are you most interested in speaking to at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So what we've, and the whole reason why we released the Secure App Extensions is based on customer requests for the need to secure legacy applications. So customers that have legacy applications who otherwise can't patch those applications, or there are no more patching for those applications and they're on extended support and they're concerned about any types of breaches. So for example, applications where vulnerabilities have been discovered, where those vendors aren't necessarily patching for those vulnerabilities on those legacy applications because they're out of support, they're just paying for extended support. That does impose quite a significant risk to those organizations. Those are the types of organizations who would be best suited for secure app extensions.
All right. Well, Gavin Hill, thank you very much for joining us on Soapbox to talk us through this latest offering of Bromium. Cheers.
Thank you, Patrick Ray. Have a good day. Cheers.
That was Gavin Hill there of Bromium. Check out Bromium at bromium.com. That's bromium.com. And that is it for this edition of the Soapbox Podcast. I'll be back in a couple of days with the last weekly show of the year. But until then, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening.